live from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Intentional Living Today, where good intentions today are going to come and die right here in the next 30 minutes. I'm praying that our good intentions will die, because we're all about building an intentional life, and it begins right now. Hey, listen, have you ever wondered, why did God make me? Or maybe I know why, but I'm not sure how I'm made and how I'm to live my life intentionally. Well, that's what this half-hour radio program is all about, what the entire Intentional Living Ministry is all about, finding God's intention for your life. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. The phone lines are open now, and we're willing to talk, ready to talk. Maybe today you're ready to be intentional, and you have something you're facing, you're challenged with, you're struggling with, and you'd like to know how this process that we talk about, the intentional living process in Christ, can work for you, whatever the question is, whatever you're facing. The toll-free line is open to you. Stephen's ready to talk, and we'll get you on the air ASAP. 888-888-1717. By the way, just before we get to our first caller, in the next 30 minutes, I'm going to do my very best to unpack what this process is all about, how intentional living works. And your questions will be a great aid in allowing me to teach and help you in the process. So give me a call, whatever it is you're facing, 888-888-1717. Let's get started. Our first question is from Mike in Michigan. Welcome to the program, Mike. How can I help you be more intentional today?
My question is about dating somebody who is not a Christian. I always hear the Bible reference of being unequally yoked, and wanted to find out if that is an absolute or if there are times where a Christian can date a non-Christian with the intent of eventually marrying.
Yeah. Loopholes. Can I find biblical loophole? I hear your heart, Mike. No, I don't think there's any loophole there. And by the way, God's, sometimes I think we misunderstand God's intention. God's intention is not to be a killjoy. He didn't sit in heaven and say, hey, let's write a Bible and give it to people to just make them miserable. You know, his word, his life, his purpose, his intention, if you please, for us, is he loves us so much. He knows that when we get unequally yoked, in other words, when we get into a relationship in business or in marriage with people who don't share our same values, our same beliefs, we're going to have nothing but problems. They're going to have a problem. We're going to have a problem. And so the answer is no. There's no loophole there. That's God's intention. Bottom line. Now, if you are married to a non-Christian, it doesn't say, oh, hey, now I got my excuse to get out of here. God's very clear about that as well, which is another call, I'm sure, another topic. But at the end of the day, if we follow God's intention, it makes a difference. Now, we talk about intentional living. There are simple four steps that aren't so simple to live every day. And the first of these, Mike, is to make a declaration of my one thing, or a declaration of my intention. And I believe for you, Mike, and for you, listener, wherever you are today, whatever you're facing, you might be broke financially and you're struggling. You might be broke in your marriage and you're struggling. You might be struggling in your business. If you make a determination or a declaration of one thing to say before God today, I'm going to figure out what pleases him and then do it. I mean, I'm going to figure out what pleases him. What does the Bible teach? What does wisdom say? What are others who are following Christ learning? And then do that one thing. We call it a declaration of an intention. And it makes a difference. And people share with us their declarations of intention. In fact, Rita is on the line from Michigan, I think, to talk a little bit about a declaration that apparently she's made in her life. Welcome to the program. Go right ahead, Rita.
One thing that I would like to do intentionally for the rest of the year and start over next year, too, would be to be more intentional with our finances, like be in charge of them instead of them in charge of us. And we're paying all of our bills, but we're not saving enough. We're tithing, but we're still not saving enough. And just try to listen more to where God believes to do with it and know how to do that.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, Rita, I applaud you, because that's where it begins. I've been around long enough, and I have a few gray hairs. Count them. Sally's laughing over there. There's more than a few, right? to attest to the fact that It all begins when we get mad enough in life. In fact, I have a whole lesson called You Gotta Get Mad, which stands for MAD, right? First of all, changing your mind, changing your attitude, and changing your decisions. And intentional living really gets to a place where we say, you know, I'm mad enough. And I want something different. I want something better. I'm sick and tired of being broke. I'm sick and tired of having a marriage that's not working. I'm sick and tired of not knowing why I'm here and what God's purpose is for my life. And we've got to get to a place where we get mad enough, and I say that in a positive way, where we say, I want something better. I want to know what God's intention is. I want to know the why of my life. And it begins with a declaration. And nothing good begins in your life until you make a declaration of intention. You made a declaration of intention the day you got married. You declared your one thing to your spouse. The founders of this country made a declaration of independence. They made a declaration of their one thing, that we would be a free nation, and then lived it out. Make the declaration, then spend the rest of your life managing that intention. That's really what intentional living is all about. It's a process, and it's making the decision, then acting on it. Hey, let me ask you, you know, when you think about your life, as an example, have you ever been thinking about you want to be a better example to your kids? You know, as a parent, you really want to do a good job. You know, the days you go to bed some nights and you think, man, I just wasn't the kind of parent I want to be. Well, Christian music artist Jeremy Camp is going to be here in about 3 minutes to tell you what he's doing to be more intentional as a dad. So stay tuned.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. The helmet is to protect what? Our heads. And in one of the versions, it says to continue to have clear thinking. As we communicate how you can experience hope, and that's what we're doing every day, here's the point. We need to help people guard their thinking. In fact, the scripture teaches us that we should learn to take captive every thought out of obedience to Christ. Many verses in scripture remind us about our thinking, the power of our thinking, the power of the words that flow through our mind really do impact us. That's an excerpt from the two-part series on what we call Experience Hope. And you hear us mention that on the radio a lot about the power of experiencing hope. Because we know that hope itself is limitless. It's a supply from God that has no end. And yet to experience it is a choice. It's a decision that we make. And so I decided to put together a series of 10 verses from Scripture that encourage us, teach us, show us how we can experience more hope in our life. So if you know someone or yourself struggling with feelings of hopelessness, I hope that the teaching this month will be an encouragement to you as it goes out to our members around the country. If you're not a part of our support family, come and be. We'd love to have you be a part of our family. We'd love to be able to share with you and send our master class teaching every month to encourage you on your journey as together we live and walk and be intentional in Him. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on that little donate icon. Or during West Coast business hours, you're welcome to call 888-888-1717 and press that number 2. It'll take you right to our staff. And boy, they'd love to be able to talk to you. You know, our ministry is a part of Family Life Radio. We have a mission that is funded separately and focuses on getting out the application of Scripture to how we actually live every day. So if you're not a part of the team, I hope you'll come and join us today. Again, theintentionallife.com. As I promised, we've got Christian recording artist Jeremy Camp as he talks a little bit about setting the example for his kids intentionally. Take a listen.
I think lately what God's been convicting me of is just making sure that you know, I'm really, because we do this, we read and pray with the girls, but I want to be more intentional about taking them through a book. Like, hey, let's go through Proverbs, you know, let's, you know, really let them see that that is the full focus of our life. And then there's a place where we're going to volunteer with the girls in our community to restore the house with special needs, and they donate things and they go to different places and give things away. And we just want to be a part of helping and having the girls be a part of helping in the community as well. Just being more intentional about that, because I think it just shows that, hey, not only just your words, but your actions as well.
The scattered words and empty thoughts seem to pour from my heart. I've never felt so torn before. Seems I don't know where to start. But it's now that I feel your grace fall like rain from every fingertip, washing away my pain.
Jeremy Camp is being intentional. Join him and others. Join people. Join us on this journey of being intentional. Not perfect. Jeremy would be the first to tell you he's not perfect. Life's not perfect. But to be intentional makes a difference. Starts at home. You can come and join us, 888-888-1717. You have a question about marriage, parenting, whatever it is you're facing. The intentional living process works. It begins with a declaration. What's something, one thing that you could declare today that would make a difference in your life? Give us a call. 888-888-1717, like Tirza did from New Mexico. Hi, Tirza. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Good. What's your question?
My question is how I can be more intentional in helping my 95-year-old friend get in-home help aid.
In other words, you have a friend who's 95 and still living alone?
And lives alone, yes.
And you're concerned. You're seeing that, is it a lady friend?
Yes, I am concerned. We've been friends for about 6 years. I am actually on my way to her house right now. I try to go once a week.
Now, where's the family? Where's the family in all this?
So she does have two sons and a daughter. Her sons live out of town. Her daughter lives in town. Her daughter's very busy. And she does... the daughter does, you know, come and buy her groceries. She checks on her each evening, you know, by phone. Comes once a week to buy her groceries. She'll take her to doctor's appointments. I take her to doctor appointments, hair appointments, nail appointments. I mean, I try to help out wherever I can.
So the doctor knows, her doctor knows she's living alone?
Yes. Okay. And he told her that state law required she has help.
Okay, so the doctor's concerned.
Yes, and she basically lives on her Social Security.
Is the doctor contacted the children?
The daughter was there with her at her appointment.
Okay. And so you're concerned that there's just no action being taken?
Correct.
And this has been just recent. This is the deterioration becoming...
Yeah, this is all recent stuff. Like okay. I said, I've been... So 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago, I quit work. My mother had dementia. I quit work. Which is where I met my friend, and I could work to take care of my mother. My mother just recently passed away in May, and so I just started kind of putting that time towards Knit Deli.
Well, I think
I started putting my
tears of what I hear too is you're a caregiver, and you're a problem solver. And
I was a daughter. I was a daughter, and now I'm a friend.
Yeah, and I don't mean that critically. It's just a reality that you were caring for mom, and now shifting some of that love that you have and concern for this friend And every family, not every, but many families that go through this, not knowing how to handle mom or dads are getting older and there's a transition, and sometimes it's too soon, and sometimes, unfortunately, it gets to be too late before the help comes along. I think it's important that the doctor is aware. That's good, seeing doctor appointments. The daughter's going to the appointment. That's good. Obviously, she has a son and daughter, so I'm assuming that they're the caregivers. Somewhere there's documentation that somebody's going to be stepping up. You can only do so far as a friend. You can only go so far as a friend, Tirza. I would encourage you to maybe get with a daughter and just ask, how can I help? What do you guys need? This is obviously son and daughter's responsibility, but as a friend, what can I do to help? Otherwise, what's likely to happen is you're going to take on responsibility that you don't have the either the legal or the right to do, potentially, or it's taking the kids' responsibilities from them and the responsibility they have to step up to help mom. And you don't know what's going on behind the scenes either. There may be some things going on, things being done, and so on. So as we think about living intentionally, you've already had that debt. You've already declared your intention to want to be a good friend and helper. Now I think the question is, what do I do? What are my habits? What are the steps that I take? And I think you're doing some of the right things. You're taking her to the doctor. You're offering to help. But I would turn my attention away from mom and turn to the daughter and say to her, listen, I'm here. I'm available. I know this is your responsibility, but how can I help? And keep the ball clearly in the court of the daughter. And of course, if the doctor is now aware that there needs to be some help, then clearly keeping that elevated so the doctor and the daughter are working this through. I think that's how you be a good friend. Now, in situations, there's always times where people need to have someone from the outside to come in and do evaluation, the state and so on, to make sure that people are being taken care of. But turning to the daughter and the doctor, I think, is a good first step to develop that habit to be a good friend, to be supportive. But remember, as she's deteriorating, part of being a friend is helping the daughter in the process. We're talking intentional living today and the process of being intentional. Thank you for your call, Tirza. You're welcome to join us. If you have a question, maybe something you're challenged with and you want to make a declaration of intention or looking for some habits, that's the second step in this process, developing the right kind of habits, habits that will honor Christ, habits that will help you get out of financial problems or physical challenges or marital issues. Developing the right kind of habits make a big difference. It's part of the four steps in intentional living. Give us a call. 888-888-1717 is the telephone number. And let me see here. Let's go to Susan. Susan's on the line in Arizona. Welcome to the program. Go right ahead.
I just thought I would share my technique about controlling paper in your home, which is when I go to the mailbox, I then stop at the recycling bin before I go in the house. And I only keep things that I really need, you know, like the bills. And that has cut down considerably on my paper clutter in my home.
Hmm. Well, you know, you led me beautifully into a third step for intentional living, which is declutter. We all have too much junk in our lives. In fact, I just worked on a schedule. I was telling my wife down on our walk this morning, I worked up a new schedule for me. Hopefully I can stick with it. I'm going to be spending at least 2 hours every week on my schedule just decluttering my life. And it's going to be, for me, it's going to start with a lot of just the paper stuff, because I hang on to stuff. We were joking about that this morning, because my wife, she doesn't hang on to anything. When she's done with it, it's gone, and I hang on to it. And she was saying, why do you hang on to some of these things? And I was joking with her. I said, you know, someday, 5 generations from now, if God tarries, they'll have a record of me. They won't with you, because you threw everything away. She wasn't impressed. So starting this process of decluttering our lives, not only of paper, but sometimes the clutter in our lives are relationships. Maybe you have people in your life who are not good for you. Sometimes relationships have an expiration date. I mean, you look at expiration date of the food in your refrigerators because it spoils. And sometimes relationships, come on now, sometimes relationships are not good for you. And they expire, and you need to deal with some of these relationships. Or it could be that you have something that needs to be decluttered in your finances. putting new things in process, new ways of handling your finances, putting a budget together. We at Intentional Living talk about 10-10-80. We keep it really simple. Wouldn't it be a powerful thing when you think about your money to declutter your life, to tithe, to set aside 10%, to be able to save 10%? And if you're younger, starting at 10%. If you're older, maybe at 15%. But setting that aside every month, do it automatically. You never touch it. You don't see it. It goes into savings. It's set aside to help for a retirement. It helps for paying down debt or whatever. And learning to live on 75 or 70 or 80% and just intentionally do it. That simple decision of decluttering your life, of overspending, and learning to live on 70 or 80% of what comes in over an extended period of time will make you a wealthy person. It really will. Do the math. I mean, you can get online, Google a calculator, and run the numbers. What would 10% of your income be over the next 20, 30, 40 years if it were set aside and growing in value? It's an intentional decision, see, and making that declaration, then following it. What does it mean to be intentional? What are the steps of intentional living? You're welcome to join us at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. Can we go to Kathy? Kathy's on the line in Texas. Welcome to the program. How can I help you be more intentional, Kathy?
Hello. My question for you today about taking care of aging parents is, if you've had a very controlling parent, but you know that the time is coming soon that they need to be taken care of more, how do you balance that with, you know, it's just kind of a hard balance of showing love but also being firm?
Yeah. Well, I think that kind of fits in with what we heard a little bit ago with a friend who's aging and needs help. And what happens is the Bible teaches us to honor our father and mother. And we have this idea that as kids, we're to honor them and support them and we're still a child. But there's a point where there's a role reversal. And when the roles reverse and all of a sudden this parent who's been controlling and maybe difficult really needs some help, and you know there's some aging issues coming, there is a point where you have to be able to confront your parents lovingly with the reality of what's coming down the pike. And I think it begins not only what's in their own best interest, but being honest with them about the stress it places on you when there's not a plan. So many of the stress points in life come not as a result of what you're facing today, but what could happen in the future because we don't have a plan. If you can have a plan that mom has sat down and shared with you and you've talked about, what's the plan? Do you want to go into a care home? Are you going to live with us? Maybe that's not going to be workable. What about your finances? How are we going to handle those things? Having a plan, putting it in print, agreeing to it together gives some confidence to mom, and it'd be helpful to you as well. So, hey, Kathy, again, being intentional, the clutter right now, we're talking about decluttering our lives. What the clutter you're facing right now is you're cluttered with the uncertainty of what the future is going to be. And there's something about a level of certainty that gives you more peace and freedom in your life. Okay, thank you for your call. Just make sure you get mom, set her down, and deal with it. It's going to be painful in the short run, helpful in the long run. Hey, listen, I have a question for you. How would you like to have a marriage that is really filled with a lot of intimacy, closeness, communication, not perfection, but you just enjoy, you can see couples that just really enjoy each other. It just seems to work. And they may not even call it intentional living, but they're being intentional. They've worked it out. The research is clear. About 7 years into a marriage is when there's kind of a peak in divorce. And there's some reasons for that. The honeymoon phase is over. You're right in the middle of the stress. If you have children, probably with little ones, it's very stressful. And if you haven't developed the kind of patterns and communication by that point, it's very stressful. And then the research shows if you make it past 10 years, the divorce rate drops for a while because you've learned how to get through it. In other words, you've developed some patterns. How would you like to have a marriage that really, maybe you got that 7 year pain right now. How would you like to have a marriage where you say, we can do this. We're going to do this. We're sick and tired of not doing this. That's what intentional living is all about. Intentional living is about taking your life where it is today and going to the next level, taking it up a step in every area.
The Bible is full of ways believers in Christ can experience hope. In part two of Dr. Randy's teaching, How to Experience Hope, he continues to go through the Bible and reveals six verses that show us how to experience hope from a biblical perspective. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you a blog, along with a video or audio of this teaching, featuring a new topic each month, as well as a bonus teaching on various topics that will help you live an intentional life for Christ. To receive this month's special offer, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Thank you, Kurt, for that reminder. And I've been thinking a lot about feelings of hopelessness in this culture in which we're living today and time that we're facing in this world. You know, I know we've always had hopelessness, and I've been around a long time and helped a lot of people, but now more than ever, there's sort of a cloud that has moved in over the world, and Satan loves it because it discourages Christians, it brings non-believers to their knees, maybe not in confession, but in just hopelessness. And we are committed here at Intentional Living now more than ever to encourage those of us who are followers of Christ to be intentional in how we think, how we live, for God's glory and for our benefit, and to live a life with less regret and more intentionality. And so I just want to say thanks to our members all around the country who help us to be able to do this through their prayers and, frankly, their practical monthly financial support. And so if you're not a part of this team, I hope you would be, and maybe share a little bit to help this message continue to get out around the world as people come to Christ and homes are strengthened and frankly saved and people coming to Christ. You can join us, as Kurt mentioned, and receive the ongoing teaching from the ministry by going to theintentionallife.com and click on donate, or during West Coast business hours, you're welcome to call 888-888-1717 and press number 2, and one of our staff will be happy to talk to you personally. Well, today, I hope you are experiencing hope, understanding God's intentional love for you. That's why we're here. We've got to run. Thanks for being a part of the ministry, and we'll see you next time right here from the Intentional Living Center.